My Experiences, My Rights, a monitoring report on disabled persons' experience of housing in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Executive Summary. Disabled Person-Led Monitoring of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. Producer's Note. This document was produced in a series of MP3 files using synthetic speech, by Accessible Information and Communications Limited, the 6th of July 2021. With synthetic speech, all care is taken to ensure good pronunciation, including words in Te Reo Māori, but some pronunciation limitations are still unavoidable. End of producer's note. Suggested citation, Donald Beasley Institute. 2020. My Experiences, My Rights, a monitoring report on disabled persons' experience of housing in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Monitoring report. New Zealand Disabled People's Organisation Coalition. Eruatau Ruru, Eruatau Wehe, Eruatau Mutu, Eruatau Kai. Persevere, keep at it, and success will follow. 5. Executive Summary. 5.1. Background. The United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, UNCRPD, is an international agreement that sets out what governments must do to ensure that disabled people have the same rights as everyone else. In 2008, the government of New Zealand ratified the UNCRPD, indicating their intention to implement the rights and obligations contained within the agreement. 12 years on, it is important to understand if, and how well, this is happening. One of the most innovative aspects of the UNCRPD is Article 33, which outlines how the convention should be monitored. Specifically, Article 33.3 articulates the Government of New Zealand's obligation to ensure that civil society, specifically disabled people and their representative organisations, are fully involved and participating in monitoring the progressive realisation of the articles contained within the UNCRPD, reference to United Nations, 2006. In 2018, the New Zealand Disabled People's Organisations, DPO, Coalition initiated the most current cycle of UNCRPD monitoring. Housing was selected as the first subject to be investigated, including disabled people's right to choose where and how they live, and the right to an adequate standard of living. The Donald Beasley Institute, DBI, was appointed by the DPO Coalition as the research partner to carry out the monitoring research. 5.2. Methodology. In Aotearoa, New Zealand, disabled people are homeowners, renters, boarders, living with families, living in group homes, or are homeless. Academic and anecdotal evidence suggests that disabled people routinely experience barriers when accessing their right to an adequate standard of living and other related rights laid out in the UNCRPD. In order to document disabled people's experience of housing, a monitoring methodology known as Disability Rights Promotion International, DRPI, was employed and adapted for the specific context of Aotearoa, New Zealand. Based on the principles of Te Tiriti o Waitangi, the UNCRPD, and the New Zealand Disability Strategy and Action Plan, the DRPI model seeks to provide a voice to marginalised populations, enhance public awareness by documenting abuses and violations, reinforce a collective identity amongst the disability community, and support efforts to achieve social justice, reference to DRPI, NDA. While the DRPI research model usually uses a three-pronged approach to monitoring individual experiences, systems and the media, this monitoring cycle only investigated the individual housing experiences of disabled people in Aotearoa, New Zealand. To ensure that the research agenda was led by disabled people, 26 disabled monitors were recruited and trained in research and monitoring skills. Over a period of 12 weeks, the monitors conducted interviews with 61 disabled people, interviewees, in Northland, Auckland, Christchurch, Otago and Southland. The purpose of the interviews was to understand what is, and is not, working for disabled people when accessing an adequate standard of living, what they think and feel about the houses they currently live in, and what types of homes they would like to live in the future. The audio recordings of the interviews were then transcribed and analyzed, before key themes were documented and collated, forming the structure of this report. The findings below represent a short summary of those included in the full report. While the full report includes extensive interviewee quotes, most have been removed from the executive summary to ensure it remains succinct. 5.3. Findings. 5.3.1. Choice and control. The first key finding of the monitoring report related to choice and control, as it appeared to underpin most, if not all, of interviewee experiences. Within the context of housing, choice and control primarily relates to Articles 4, 5, 9, 14, and 19 of the UNCRPD, and was demonstrated by the limited choices interviewees felt they had when accessing adequate housing, and the lack of control they had over their living situations. This was exemplified by standout case studies, an interviewee living in a group home, a young interviewee living in a retirement home, an interviewee with a degenerative condition who had recently invested in a new build, and an interviewee who was homeless. Through their stories, each interviewee outlined the significant challenges they had faced when attempting to access adequate housing, and the very real impact that having little to no choice or control over where they lived and who they lived with had had on their well-being and quality of life. 5.3.2. Access. The next finding explored access in relation to housing, and Articles 4, 5, 8, 9, 14, 17, 19, and 28 of the UNCRPD included in this theme was the discrimination interviewees faced when accessing the housing market, when implementing accessibility measures within their homes, and when accessing information and justice. For example, interviewees reported significant barriers when trying to access the housing market as tenants or as buyers, with many citing negative attitudes towards disability held by landlords, agents, and other people in positions of power, as the main cause. Begin quote, M. What do you think the biggest barrier to adequate housing is? I. Definitely attitude, end quote, interview number 47. For some, the ongoing nature of these challenges led to the deterioration of their physical and psychosocial health. For others, these challenges had forced them into inadequate living situations and even homelessness. Affordability was also considered a major barrier to adequate housing, which many interviewees associated with the lack of accessibility features within and around the home. For example, some interviewees were not eligible for funding for the modifications they felt they needed, nor could they afford them themselves. Affordable rent and rising house prices were also identified as barriers to adequate housing and living situations that met their basic needs. Finally, a lack of access to information and justice systems were reported by interviewees who felt limited by complicated and inaccessible legal documents, the effort required to engage with justice systems, and the fear of retribution from landlords if they did decide to take legal action. For example, one interviewee feared they would lose their home if they raised a maintenance issue with their landlord, begin quote, so, I had a leak above a light for quite a period of time at which he, landlord, refused to fix. But I felt so vulnerable at the time that if I did make a complaint, I would lose my home. End quote, interview number 18. 5.3.3. Belonging. The next collection of findings were collated under the theme of belonging, and included homeliness, rhythms and routines, and community connection. As a finding, belonging primarily related to the preamble of the UNCRPD, as well as Articles 9, 15, 16, 19, 26, and 28. Homeliness began by looking at how a home is created, including where and how it is set up, and whether home is an environment where interviewees felt comfortable, relaxed, and enjoyed spending their time. Several interviewees reported that they enjoyed being at home, noting that home was where they were forced to spend most of their time as a result of their disability. However, a number of interviewees also mentioned the size of their home, damp, cold, mold and inaccessibility as factors that contributed to the sense that they did not belong. Moreover, a large number of interviewees indicated that because their home was inaccessible, they could not safely participate in standard activities in and around the home, such as cooking, cleaning and gardening, again, contributing to the sense of not belonging. The next aspect of belonging looked at the relationships interviewees had with the people they lived with, their neighbors, the wider community and online communities. Within this finding, there was a noticeable difference between interviewees who had positive relationships with their community and those who did not. Positive relationships were associated with adequate access in and around the home, as well as in the wider community, a space where relationships are traditionally forged. Those who reported a low sense of belonging also experienced financial barriers that meant they were unable to choose where they lived, who they lived next to, and who they lived with. This had a direct impact on interviewees' sense of belonging, leading to feelings of insecurity and isolation. Begin quote. A lot of the Housing New Zealand apartments are people who would be turned down for housing anywhere else. M. So not your ideal neighbors. I. A lot of stealing, a lot of drugs, that sort of thing. Just to be surrounded by that, I don't like being around it. End quote. Interview number 45. As highlighted in this quote, for many of the interviewees living in Housing New Zealand communities, their lack of belonging often reflected the negative relationships they had with neighbouring Housing New Zealand tenants. Finally, several interviewees noted the positive impact of online communities on their sense of belonging. However, this observation was often followed by comments about the cost of internet as being a barrier to participation. 5.3.4. Safety. The third key finding was safety, which included both physical and psychological safety. This finding primarily related to Article 3 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, UDHR, as well as the preamble of the UNCRPD and Articles 11, 14, 17, 25 and 28. Unsurprisingly, safety was strongly linked to adequate housing. For example, physical safety was associated with access, modifications, heating, and maintenance. Psychological safety correlated with physical safety, location, access, choice, and control. Of the 61 interviews, 13 interviewees indicated their homes were cold, and over half of the interviewees, 33, reported hazards within and around their home. Interviewees were quick to link cold homes to the cost of power, which reflected income barriers, relating to Article 28 of the UNCRPD, ensuring an adequate standard of living. Compromised physical and mental health were reported as byproducts of living in cold homes, relating to Articles 25, Health, and 17, Integrity. For example, several interviewees resorted to turning their heaters off and going without basic necessities in order to afford their electricity bills. Begin quote. So, I go without food every winter, I go without food to pay my electricity costs. End quote. Interview number 15. In addition to the cold, damp, and mold, many interviewees reported hazards in and around the home that they felt were a risk to their health and safety. Hazards included entrance and exits of buildings, indoor and outdoor steps and stairs, inaccessible kitchens and cupboards, slippery and problematic bathroom layouts, and overcrowding. When discussing the reasons behind why such hazards exist, many interviewees put it down to the lack of responsiveness and responsibility taken by landlords and housing agents, particularly when interviewees made requests for maintenance. While this is a challenge for many New Zealanders, reference to floors, 2019, interviewee experiences indicated that unfixed hazards are even more problematic for marginalised populations, such as disabled people. Emergencies, situations of risk and evacuation were also of concern for some of the interviewees, many of whom had no way to exit their homes in an emergency. Begin quote. So, I've had a fire drill, two fire drills and a genuine fire alarm where each time I have sat in my apartment and not a single person has come here. End quote. Interview number 39. This finding was raised by several interviewees, ranging from wheelchair users who were unable to evacuate in an emergency to deaf interviewees who required visual fire alarms to alert them of smoke and fire. The other aspect of safety was psychological safety, which was often linked to stress, anxiety and depression, both as a barrier to finding adequate housing, and as a consequence of living in inadequate housing. Again, this was often associated with the affordability, adequacy, and location of houses. A further reason for distress was caused by the lack of consistency around lease agreements, with many interviewees being forced to accept short-term leases, knowing that the landlord could increase the price with each new agreement, or decide not to renew the lease at all. Begin quote, like, the fact that I can't have a long-term tenancy agreement just constantly puts me on edge and I never know from one year to the next whether or not I'm still going to still have my home. End quote. Interview number 18. The lack of psychological safety interviewees felt in relation to their housing situation, which has been mentioned in several contexts and findings, was indicative of a real and perceived power imbalance between themselves and people in positions of power, including landlords, housing agents, and WINS and Housing New Zealand staff. 5.3.5. Awareness of rights. The fifth and final group of findings related to interviewees' awareness of their rights under the UNCRPD, and in particular Articles 2, 8, 9, 19 and 28. In order to investigate awareness, monitors began by asking interviewees if they had heard of the UNCRPD and universal design. Even though this research is dedicated to monitoring the progressive realization of the UNCRPD, of the interviewees who answered these questions, 29 had not heard of the UNCRPD and 33 did not know what universal design was. Monitors then read aloud two relevant UNCRPD articles and asked the interviewees to reflect on what the articles meant to them personally. The first article was Article 19, which states that all disabled people have an equal right to live in the community with choices equal to others. Interviewee reflections were focused on choice and control, safety, and not being discriminated against on the basis of disability. The second article that interviewees were asked to think about in relation to housing was Article 28, which holds that the Government of New Zealand must recognise the right of disabled people to an adequate standard of living. Interviewees reflected on subjects such as design, access, safety, warmth, and choice and control. Even though many interviewees had not heard of universal design or the UNCRPD, after reflecting on Articles 19 and 28, they demonstrated a clear understanding of the treatment they believed they were entitled to. Having established key housing-related rights, interviewees were then asked if the Government of New Zealand is making sure disabled people are not discriminated against in the housing and rental markets. The consensus was a resounding no. The Government of New Zealand is not doing enough. Finally, interviewees were asked what they think needs to change in order for the UNCRPD to have an impact on their housing situation. Recommendations provided by the interviewees called for the Government of New Zealand to acknowledge the impact of the housing crisis on disabled people, increase the awareness of disability through education, consultation, advocacy, and face-to-face engagement, improve domestic laws and ensure stronger enforcement, update the building code to include private property, incentivize the implementation of universal design standards, employ disabled people in relevant housing positions, increase resources for disabled people when accessing adequate housing, draw on and promote examples of best practice. 5.4. Discussion. The findings generated from this monitoring research paint a bleak picture, with disabled people's experiences of housing in Aotearoa New Zealand leaving much to be desired. The purpose of the discussion aspect of the report was to take a step back and look at emerging themes that were not directly related to questions asked during the interviews and acknowledge interviewee narratives in a wider context. Many interviewees related their experience of housing to the wider housing crisis of Aotearoa New Zealand, emphasising that their experiences often reflected those of other New Zealanders who were also struggling with the power imbalance between tenants and landlords, inadequacy of homes, and the unaffordability of the housing market. However, the UNCRPD clearly articulates that disabled people face greater barriers when participating as equal members of society and ongoing violations of their human rights, reference to UNCRPD, Preamble, Point 11. As this research has revealed, the playing field is not level, including within the climate of the current national housing crisis. This was summarized by one interviewee when discussing Article 28, begin quote, "This one means to me that at least be as poor as everybody else, and not poorer." End quote. Given that the well-being of society as a whole relies on the well-being of the disability community, reference to UNCRPD, Preamble, Point 13, specific measures that are necessary to accelerate or achieve de facto equality of disabled people should not be avoided or considered negatively discriminatory, reference to UNCRPD, Article 5.4, even amidst a housing crisis. In fact, specific measures within the context of housing are an important aspect of progressively realizing the UNCRPD, as well as the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs, of which the taglines are, "Reach first those who are furthest behind," and "Leaving no one behind," reference to United Nations, 2016. The next point raised in the discussion referred to the inequality between the ACC and Ministry of Health, MOH, funding models. As noted in the Choice and Control and Safety findings, housing experiences were often related to income, employment, welfare, and funding. This was noted by several interviewees as being exemplified by the disparity between the ACC model of funding and MOH model of funding, the latter of which provides less funding than the former. This point was also identified as a human rights violation in previous rounds of monitoring research, reference to Article 33 Convention Coalition Monitoring Group, 2015, and was highlighted during the UNCRPD Committee's concluding observations on the Government of New Zealand's report during their last examination. This monitoring research has again revealed that the inequality generated by the different funding models is an ongoing and serious issue, exemplified by the impact that this disparity had on interviewees' access to safe and adequate housing. The next theme woven throughout the monitoring interviews was the notion of compromise. For example, one interviewee referred to the fear of having one housing issue addressed but knowing that it meant they were likely to have something else taken away from them, begin quote, "I think everywhere else is pretty hard to get a house these days. I mean most of it is just the cost. Cost is building houses for our needs and that a. Really down to it, just like if you need something done, you gotta take something away. And that thing is what do you have to take away?" End quote. Interview number one. Compromise was also a key aspect of Choice and Control, particularly in relation to accessibility versus location. For example, interviewees felt they were forced to choose between community connection and accessibility, or safety and affordability. The next point of the discussion looked at interviewee responses to questions that were designed to investigate what adequate housing might look like in the future. Towards the end of the interview, monitors asked interviewees what their dream living situation would look like in 5 years' time, if the Government of New Zealand was successfully implementing the UNCRPD in Aotearoa New Zealand. While this kind of golden question might be expected to elicit answers of affluence, luxury, or even extravagance, interviewee responses were much humbler, with most interviewees emphasizing the point that they simply wanted what they are entitled to under the UNCRPD, equal standards of living, warm and safe homes, and equal and balanced relationship with landlords. The difference between rights, laws and policies, and their practical implementation, was also addressed. As noted by several interviewees, even though disabled people have legal entitlements, the implementation of these rights is often where the problem lies. In general, Interviewees were doubtful and distrusting of the government of New Zealand when it came to the progressive realization of their rights. As the earlier findings revealed, these feelings were not without cause. There was also the sense of fatigue. On top of living with disability, the need to fight for their rights was exhausting. Other recurring themes were gratitude and dignity. As interviewees shared stories about the discrimination they had faced when accessing adequate housing, many were also quick to acknowledge that they were grateful for what they had, feeling it could be a lot worse. For others, they were advised by people in positions of power to be grateful, despite the inadequacy of their living circumstances. Given that adequate housing is a right, the conscious or subconscious need to express gratitude for substandard living conditions is concerning and reflects aspects of the charity model of disability. Gratitude was also linked to dignity, which refers to the inherent nature of being human and being worthy or deserving of respect. Point 8 of the UNCRPD preamble states that discrimination against any person on the basis of disability is a violation of the inherent dignity and worth of the human person. Reference to United Nations, 2006, Preamble. The findings of this monitoring research have again provided many examples of where interviewees felt their inherent dignity had been threatened. The final aspect of the discussion was best practice. Although this report paints a bleak picture of how interviewees experience housing in Aotearoa, New Zealand, it is important to acknowledge that negative experiences were intentionally extrapolated from the data for the purpose of monitoring. Even though most interviewees discussed experiences which were challenging at best, and human rights violations at worst, some interviewees also provided examples of best practice. For example, one interviewee noted the elation they felt when they came across a landlord who did not discriminate against them when they obtained a support animal. Another interviewee recalled how a landlord had taken the time to go through legal paperwork in a way they could easily understand. Begin quote, "My landlord, he explained to us and sat down and explained, we could understand and everything," end quote. Interview number 52. As shown by the small selection of diverse, yet positive, experiences included in the full report, simple actions by people in positions of power, authority and privilege went a long way in leveling the playing field for interviewees when it came to housing matters. 5.5. Final comments. This report presented the findings of the 2019 Disabled Person-Led Monitoring of the UNCRPD in Aotearoa, New Zealand. The purpose of this monitoring research was to understand how a selection of disabled people experience housing in Aotearoa, New Zealand, specifically in relation to their rights under the UNCRPD. While some of the housing experiences shared in this report were positive, the majority were not. Most of the stories shared by interviewees were overwhelmingly negative, emphasizing the challenges and human rights violations they faced when accessing adequate housing. These experiences demonstrate how far Aotearoa New Zealand has to go in progressively realizing the UNCRPD and ensuring that no one is left behind. In particular, the limited awareness interviewees had of their rights under the UNCRPD, together with the attitudes held by people in positions of power within the housing market, are reasons for concern and speak to the Government of New Zealand's failure to invest in generating awareness of the UNCRPD amongst both disabled and non-disabled populations. Even so, though the findings of this report are bleak, the solutions, strategies, and tools for moving forward are clear, and can be found woven throughout interviewee narratives. Even though interviewees had limited knowledge of the UNCRPD itself, they still demonstrated a strong ability to advocate for themselves amidst intersecting challenges, providing expertise and strategies for effectively realizing their rights. As the disability rights slogan says, "Nothing about us, without us." Disabled people know what they are entitled to and what needs to change for their rights to be made real. Not only does this report provide important evidence of housing challenges and rights violations, but it also offers a blueprint for moving towards greater equality within Aotearoa, New Zealand and beyond. Producer's notes. This audio version of this document was produced on the 6th of July 2021 by Accessible Information and Communications Limited, 2/13 Upland Road, Remuera, Auckland 1050. Phone 09-320-4173. Email info@aicoms.co.nz. Website www.aicoms.co.nz. Feedback helps us improve the quality of our service. Please contact us to comment or raise any queries regarding our production of this document. End of document.